want to welcome you to this special service tonight. Micah has asked that we would read from Acts 7, starting at verse 23 to 36. That's Acts 7, 23 to 36. When I found out about the calling of Micah and Mimi, I kind of said, wow. Then it's exciting, and it's then you say, that's cool, you know, that God has his plan for us two and for all of us, and we're just here to support that and to hear a little bit about that tonight here. We are, as a mission committee, we look for ways to support God's kingdom, and it is exciting when some of your own congregation get called. So, all right, we're going to read from Acts 7, starting at verse 23 to verse 36. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he shewed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled, and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groanings, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they had refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out, after that he had shewed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness, 40 years. All who are able, would you please kneel for prayer?
All right. Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege to be here and be able to share what the Lord has been doing and working in our lives. I'm a little nervous. Derek, now he met me in the back, and I was asking some formalities about the evening, how it's going to go about, and I told him, I said, usually when I prepare for stuff like this, I don't think I have enough, and I have too much, so I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to be. Hope it's not just 10 minutes, but for your sake, I also hope it doesn't go an hour and a half, so we'll try to keep an eye on the clock, and we'll see how it goes. So I want to thank everybody for coming and being willing to listen, like I said, to how God has led us to this point. So I guess I'll get right into it. So I guess I will say kind of a little bit of a map for the evening. I was planning on spending some time talking about how God led us to this point, and then we took a trip to Michigan, kind of explaining that as we were thinking about this. And then kind of what school will look like and than what we kind of know about after school, after the training, and then kind of close with some prayer requests. And also, there's going to be a point where my wife will come up and give some personal testimony of her, kind of her take and the way the Lord led in her life. So, okay, so I'll get into it. So in the past, I quite often had the thought and wondered, like, where's my place? Where's our place in God's kingdom? How can we serve him? And I'm sure that's not unique to me. Talking with different ones, I've heard the same thing. There's just like, you know, questioning where are we to serve? How are we to serve? And I would say it's probably started even before we were married, when we were dating and stuff, talking about it. And then as we got married, and just felt like from time to time it would come and go, but different times I'd be really pressed, like what are we to do, like where are we to go, who, you know, what ministry, how does this look? And different times I had this impression that there was something specific in mind, that God had in mind, but I didn't have any idea. Yeah, instead of like I said, I different times I had this thought that this idea, this impression that there was something specific, but no. And instead of just like maybe a generic like serving God local at your local body, and I don't mean to downplay that. There's definitely a need to do that, and God can obviously use anybody anywhere, but I think in hindsight, just looking back in the years, that was God's preparation, His nudging, but not revealing to me what it was until the right time. And there was different times I had different ideas, different thoughts about ministry, and my wife never could, it's like we maybe couldn't get on the same page and just didn't like, yeah, it was hard to kind of like, it just didn't seem to work out or progress. And I think she'll probably share a little bit about that. So we've been very close with Neil and Darla, and of course, as you know, they're involved in work overseas. And I believe it was Christmas of 2022. We were with them, and that was a month or so before they left to where they're serving now. And Neil, I think he was serious, but also joking a little bit, kind of like, so you guys coming with us? And I think both of us were kind of like intrigued, like, man, that sounds intriguing, that sounds interesting. But we didn't like, you know, air quotes, feel the call. We didn't, like, the idea was like, it got our wheels turning, and there was interest, but it didn't like feel right. It didn't feel like, kind of felt like we needed something a little more clear of the Lord before we would, you know, go move somewhere. And in conversation with Neil, I think we probably shared that with him, and he's like, well, you could at some point come visit us, spend some time, just get a feel for what it's like, and maybe through that the Lord would open doors, and just kind of, you know, if we're there, like, maybe this is what it's like, and we would catch that calling to stay or go somewhere else or whatever. And a little foreshadowing, we were thinking about visiting them in October of 23. When talking with them, they figured that'd probably be the best time, and like, okay. And in early 2023, when we were discussing, we still hadn't made a decision. Do we want to go visit? Yes, no, maybe. We were talking about it, and we just didn't have a peace about it. We just didn't feel, I don't know, it just wasn't a peace, I guess, is the best way to explain it. So they had kind of came home to visit, and so we're like, okay, we'll just say no. It just doesn't feel right. So I'll come back to that at some point here. another thing to note was, even though, like I said, my wondering, my questioning, where are we to serve? How can we be of service to God? Even though that was often won over numerous years, my wife noticed that after this all kind of, this Michigan aviation came to mind, my wife noted that, well, I think in 2023, that year, I think you were more restless than you've ever been. And I didn't really notice it myself, but looking back, I think I can see how that was true. And it's just neat seeing how, like, God's timing, as it got closer, he started, the draw seemed to be becoming more apparent or stronger. So also, I forget exactly what time of the year, but this past year, one time I was over at my in-laws, Ken and Jane's, and I think that was probably a day where I was really like, where, what, how, I don't, and I shared with Ken, and I was like, so, just to get advice, like, what, how do you know what your calling is in life? How do you, just kind of asking, kind of desperate for, because I was really restless, and he was able to give me some good practical advice. Basically, I believe he said, like, you know, something, sometimes it's good to just try something out, steps, maybe volunteering here if you think you're interested in this or that. And so that was helpful. So then came beginning of July when Christina Lehigh came and gave her presentation with her involved with aviation. And previous to this point, I had not really given aviation much thought at all, if anything. I don't know if I ever really even dawned on me, like, oh, I could use, go down this path or use this. So, and in fact, I didn't even really know Christina. I think I probably knew of her, but I didn't really know her that well. And so it's not like I heard about, oh, Christina's coming, going to give her talk on how, where she's serving. And I knew that. So it's not like I was like, okay, I really need to get here to see this, to see if this was, you know, something would be interesting. It was like, okay, I had to usher over at the side hall there. So we came, and fortunately I was smart enough to prop that door open on the hallway, not the double doors, but the one on the side. So I could kind of see in to her slides and her talking and stuff. And again, keep in mind, I had no idea. It's not like I was like, oh, this is something. Coming that night, I had no idea. So, and as she was talking, I think the spirit, still small voice, started working. And I remember thinking something along the lines of, like, I could see myself doing this. Like, I can kind of picture this. And so I think the wheels were going. And my wife was in here. I was out there by myself. So she didn't know anything about this at the time. And so I made sure to talk to Christine afterwards, which is kind of neat in and of itself, because sometimes I have this, like, oh, I should go talk to them, and then you don't get around to it. So, but it just, I think the Lord's moving and leading, and I was able to talk to her, and I asked her, like, some details, like, so what does this look like, and how long is the schooling, and just because I think in my mind, sometimes it's kind of hard to remember what their thought process when you came to what conclusion, but I think what was going on in my mind was, like, I was asking to see if this was, is this going to be doable? Is this something that is actually possible? So yeah, she was giving me some details of the school, and Rebecca Patterson was there that night. I believe she was talking to my wife, and Rebecca didn't know this. Even my wife didn't know what I was thinking at the time. And I believe my wife was explaining, like, to her, like, oh, we feel like there's something the Lord has, but at this point we don't know what it is, and it's just kind of up in the air. And Rebecca's advice was similar to Ken's. It's just like, well, just travel around. You know, if you think you're interested in a place, go visit, see what it's about. And so yeah. And on the way home, I mentioned something to my wife about what she would think if we would look into this. And I believe at this point, is this when you wanted to? I believe it's a good time for her to take over and kind of share some of her testimony on it. So.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share my side of the story leading up to this point. Like Micah already mentioned, we felt like we would be involved in something specific someday. But his interests and visions never really appealed to me. And as we talked about different opportunities, nothing seemed to stick. And I'd honestly just kind of feel this dread. I just wasn't in it. My heart was drawn to young girls and community ministry. I had dreams of our house being a hangout and a sanctuary. And I loved helping with Connect and Bible school and building relationships with the girls. Micah was unsatisfied and restless, and I began wondering what God was doing. We're supposed to be a team, and yet it felt like our hearts were drawn in different directions. I began praying that God would unite our vision, and I also began pondering, well, what is my role as Micah's wife? I am to support him and aid him in his God-given task. Does that mean I need to lay my desires aside? In June, I spent some time with a girl that I had first met many, many years ago at Winter Bible School. I had stayed in contact with her and had been a while since I was with her, and I invited her over. We spent the afternoon on our sofa chatting about life, and she asked a lot of really good questions. I remember when she left, I felt so alive. There was no doubt in my mind that this was the passion that God had given me, but things were still a little confusing. So when Christina came and shared, I was really encouraged by her story because God used many little things in preparing her and leading her to his calling on her life. And I remember thinking, well, God can do that for us. God can take us where he needs us to be. And I couldn't see it at that point yet, but God was already working. So on the way home, when Micah asked what I'd think about visiting Michigan, SMAT specifically, right away, I was like, that sounds neat. And it was so drastic to my responses other times. There was, instead of dread, I had peace. And instead of hesitation, I was actually intrigued and excited about this prospect. And I knew God was doing something. And so I don't remember the time exactly, but sometime over the next several months, God brought an answer to my previous questions and prayers that I mentioned. It may sound really simple, but it made a big impact on me. As God confirmed the passions and desires of my heart, he also showed me that wherever we end up on this journey, if it continues to pan out, there will be people around me to love and connect with. And so the where didn't matter, and he had and has a place for me in this calling.
All right. So to keep the chronological aspect of our story, I'm going to talk about our trip to Michigan now, and she's going to stand by me, and she has another story to jump in a little bit later. So, okay. So, as I mentioned, and she alluded to, on the way home from Christina's presentation, I asked her, like, so what did you think about this? And yeah, it was really encouraging hearing her response, like, yeah, like, sounded interesting. It was, like, so refreshing that one, feels like, because of our, in the past, it just, things didn't, we felt like we couldn't get on the same page. And so that was refreshing, that was neat. And I think just probably started that night, just the peace of God was kind of, felt like it was on this journey. So a couple weeks later, I emailed Christina and just said, hey, I think this could be something that the Lord is leading us into. Can we come visit? And so we set up a trip, planned a visit to the school there, SMAT. Once again, that's School of Missionary Aviation Technology. That's the name of the school. And so we planned it for October. And this was the neat part of what I was saying about it. We were originally thinking earlier in the year that October would be the month that we would go visit Neil and Darla. So it was just neat how he kind of prevented us from acting on that to have this month open. It just, I don't know, for what it maybe doesn't mean much to other people, but just through this whole journey, it was just really special seeing, like, oh, October was the month we were originally thinking to go overseas with Neil and Darla and see if this was of the Lord, but he had kind of the same thing, but just in a different place, different location. So, okay, so we we made the trip for October. We left early on Thursday morning. We wanted to make sure we were there on a weekday, so that we left Thursday, planned to have Thursday the trip. The driving is about 9-10 hours. So we stayed Thursday night in Lansing, which is about 40 minutes southeast of Ionia, which is the small town where the school was located. And then Friday morning we traveled. We went right to the school. And so we got there. Christina met us. She brought us in, showed us around a little bit. And she introduced us to a couple of the students who were pretty well caught up on their schoolwork, and they had some free time. So that was really neat, seeing, having some, it was like two or three younger guys just show us around, talk, kind of, I could ask questions like, you know, what's student life like, and this and that, and just get a feel for it. That was really, really a good way to kind of ease into the, seeing what the daily life was like. These students were part of the maintenance program, and I'll get into a little more detail later, but like there's the two programs. There's a maintenance program and the flight program. So there's kind of same school, but different like areas, different buildings. So that's, these guys were part of the maintenance program. And after we were able to meet with them, we met with the president of the school, and he showed us around. He took us to the flight side, the flight program, and there was, most of the students were out, that were learning how to fly, were out flying and stuff. But we were able to meet a couple of the instructors there, and one student that was currently in the program. And he was able to answer questions and just, yeah, kind of clear up some different thing, questions I had and stuff. Let's see here. So this was all Friday, and so we ate lunch there. And so after lunch, I stayed there and was able to sit on a class to kind of just, once again, get a feel for it, see what it's like. And in the meantime, Miriam and Isa went to, well, I'll let her jump in now and start telling that part.
So I will just say quick, although I had tremendous peace, we both had tremendous peace just leading up to this trip and during this trip, I still had questions. And especially with visiting the school and stuff, I wondered what would life be like in Michigan? Micah, if he's going to be at the school, he's going to be surrounded by classmates and staff. Will there be support and fellowship for me during the week, or am I going to feel very alone? So Christina had asked if I would like a quiet place to lay Isa down for a nap. She said there were young mothers in the area, and Isa was in bad need of one, so I thought that would be good. I was a little hesitant, though. It felt weird just dropping it at a stranger's house to put my child down, but I knew it would be okay. And so I got to meet Jody, a young Anabaptist mother with two little girls. Jody was so warm and friendly and easy to talk to. We shared our stories. She told me about life in Michigan. She said, feel free to ask me any questions that you have. And I was very happy to learn that the SMAT staff and students and families become like family, and they do activities together. The ladies have a Bible study, and like most libraries, the local library has different activities and things for children and families. And so in talking about this, Jody assured me that if I want to get involved, I wouldn't be bored and feel alone. The afternoon was so uplifting and restoring. God knew my heart, and God knew what I needed. And I believe he orchestrated that meeting, that time spent with Jody. And our whole trip felt like it was filled like this. I don't think we're going to get into every little thing that happened. Michael will share another instance, but it felt like the trip was filled with unexpected meetings and blessings. And God would take care of the tiniest little things. And this might sound humorous, but it's just a God moment. So when we left Pennsylvania toward Michigan, about 2 hours into our trip, apparently we had a bad phone charger, and it ruined my phone port that I couldn't charge my phone, and it had like 2% battery, so I could not use my phone anymore. We were able to get a cheap phone and transfer my SIM card, so I did have something to use, but the whole ordeal was just frustrating and kind time-consuming, and we lost travel when Isa was happy, and it was frustrating. But anyway, I was fine. And when I was at Jody's house, I briefly mentioned what happened. And she said, oh, well, my husband has experience fixing phones, and he could take a look at it for you. Okay, how often does that happen? So the problem was assessed, a new part was ordered and installed, and returned to me free of charge before the weekend was over. Like, that's God. He didn't have to do that. I was fine. But he did it because he wanted to, because he's so good. And I still just get so overwhelmed and amazed about how God kept showering us with blessings like that just because he could.
All right, so that was, I guess, where I left off. Yeah, that was Friday. Friday, like I said, Friday afternoon. I was at school. She went to Jody's house, the wife of one of the students. And so I remember on Friday evening, which, by the way, Christina was kind enough to host us for the weekend. So we stayed with her. And on Friday evening, before we went to bed, I just looked at Miriam's like, so what are you thinking? And I think she was like, about what? I'm like, just, I don't know, this journey, this process. And if I remember correctly, she responded something to the effect of, honestly, I think if I would be disappointed if we didn't come now. So that was just really neat hearing. And I believe even before we took the trip, we had a good peace about it. And like she said, we felt peace, but she had questions and stuff. So we felt like there was a good chance this was going to happen. And we, God's peace, the way he opened doors and stuff. And so, yeah, like I said, that was a really neat response to hear from her. So I think at that point we were like, yeah, this seems pretty sure it's going to happen. So then Saturday morning, Christina took us for a plane ride, which was neat because even though I felt like the Lord is leading us into this, I had never flown in a small plane. Like, I've flown commercially and stuff, so it might sound a little crazy, but in a way, it kind of reinforces that God is in it, because it's not like I grew up from little on up. I love to get my license and fly and stuff. So fortunately, we weren't sure with the weather and stuff, but fortunately, there was a break in the weather. We were able to do it, and so that was just a neat being able to actually get a little experience before I started the next year, in the classes and stuff, if we would go through with it. A little bit more about our trip. Saturday evening, we went with Christina. She took us to a fall party that a local church put on, and that was really neat because we could kind of see once again the community outside of school life. There was people associated with the school there, the church there, and also just community people. So that was really neat, being able to meet people and see a little bit about the kind of the life there. And then Sunday we went to church with Christina. And after church, this is another account where we just really felt like the Lord blessed us in a meeting of some individuals that was just ordained of him and really was used to really encourage us. So after church, we went back to Christina's place for lunch, and she had invited another couple to lunch with us, and he actually used to be one of the flight instructors at the school, and he and his wife had both served in the mission field in years past and stuff. And yeah, God really seemed to work out the timing of our trip and just the way that we were able to have lunch with this couple. And the neat thing is, They're traveling. The neat thing is they're very rarely around, it sounds like, because they're traveling a lot. They're currently enrolled or helping with a different aviation ministry, and so they're traveling a lot with that. And so they sound like they're very rarely around. And so the fact that they were there the weekend we were, and we were able to have lunch with them, was neat. I think Christina kind of tried that to kind of have them, because they were a good, they had a lot of wisdom, and they were able to answer questions and stuff. So just how that all worked out was such a blessing. God really used them to encourage us. They were able to, you know, like I said, answer questions, and they shared personal experiences, examples of how God worked in their lives, and just in general, they had a lot of wisdom to give us as we, because at that point, once again, we were pretty certain we were going to step forward in this and go and move forward. And I think at that point, yeah, like I said, pretty certain we were going to do it. At that point, I think in my mind, I was starting to worry about the finances. And I'll address that in a little bit, but, and just, yeah, just concerns. And they were able to give us examples, and I don't know, I'm kind of not sure where I'm going with this, but it was just a tremendous blessing to be able to meet with them. Kind of like the cherry on top for the weekend. And one thing that was really a blessing, they shared a scripture with us. From 2 Corinthians 9:8. I'm going to read that. And I believe it was in the context of like God providing the needs, financial, whatever. And so 2 Corinthians 9:8, that says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." So that verse really meant a lot to me, and just have thought about it multiple times just since then, and have memorized it. I probably need to brush up. I want to make sure it's solid, because it was just such a good reminder of how God will take care of you and provide what you need. And not just me, of course, that I guess I can, as I'm sharing this, I want to encourage all of us that wherever we are, wherever God has us in life, that He will provide the grace and provide for our needs to fulfill everything that He's called us to do. Before I continue, Eric, I seen you take a sip of one of these waters. Do you know which one it was? Okay. It's not a big deal, but I figured... All right, so moving on. I kept mentioning it earlier about God's peace. We felt God's presence and peace upon that weekend. It was so refreshing. It just felt like in the little details, like Miriam shared about the phone and meeting this couple with stuff like that. Just like, it felt like the Lord was just like, here, have this other blessing and this other one and this other one. It was just such a beautiful experience, and I'm very grateful for the way God gave us what we needed to for that trip, the peace, the confidence. And we had a family group text, and my brother messaged about praying that, forget exactly how it was worded, but as you make decisions, as the Arnts have a hard time, and so that's true. Some of us Arnts have a hard time with making decisions and knowing what to do. And we, on the way home, I think we were looking at it, that message, and it just kind of, it made us chuckle, because that's true. Like, it is, some of us do have a hard time knowing what to decide, but we chuckled because, like, just, it's like we almost didn't have to make the decision. Like, it was like the natural, like the Lord just opened the door, and it was just like, it was so refreshing. So we kind of a good chuckle at that. Like, I appreciated the thought, and I knew where it was coming from, but it was like, well, we feel like we know what we're supposed to do. So, okay. So I had Brother Henry read from Acts there. Let's see, where it was, Acts 7. Talking about Moses and how he went into land of Midian and Cain, Lord spoke to him and called him back to Egypt to lead the people out. And it seemed like God had something planned for Moses all along, even before he fled from Pharaoh. And God knew it. God knew what it was, even though Moses may have not known. And in no way do I want to compare myself to Moses. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. But I think I can relate to his story a little bit. When reading about the account of Moses, I think we can quickly glance over the fact and kind of forget how long Moses was away from Egypt and in the land of Midian before God called him to go and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And it appeared like in verse 25 there, it says, For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. So it appeared like Moses was ready. He was willing. He seemed like he knew in a way what God wanted. Kind of in a similar way, I feel like for several years, we were wanting to know and searching and like, wait, where are we to serve you? Where are we to serve God? Where do you want us to get involved with? But however, it seems like in Moses' case, the timing was not right. And in God's sovereign plan, Moses went away for 40 years. And of course, this is probably some speculation, but I'm sure Moses was being prepared by the Lord and growing. And I think some of the lesson for us is not to discredit the importance of faithfully serving him where you're at, even if you might be restless, even if you might be wondering or thinking there's something else. Let's not think that waiting has to be in vain, that it can be productive, the preparation. And like I said, I don't want to compare myself to Moses, but in that, I think I can really relate a little bit in that looking back, seeing how God was preparing Miriam and I. The timing wasn't right 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. And looking back, seeing how God has, I think seeing how both of us have matured spiritually, emotionally, and yeah, that time of waiting was necessary. And I'm grateful that God did not, of course, if God would have called, it wouldn't have been too soon, but you know what I mean? That it wasn't too soon to step out before we were ready. And I do want to say, I fully expect there will be challenges ahead, and I'll probably fail in my faith and trust of God. So I don't mean to say like, oh, because God's timing, we're good to go. I fully expect that there will be challenges. So it's not done yet. It's not over. But it's just neat looking back, seeing the Lord's timing. And I think years ago, over the different years, like me wondering, where are we to serve? And I think God had this for us all along. And just for whatever reason, I think one main reason to prepare us, it was not the time to reveal it to us. Okay, so what will school look like? That's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about now. So location of school, some of you probably remember this from when Christina came to the same school. She'll actually be one of my instructors the first year. It's in Ionia, Michigan. Like I said, it was 9-10 hour drive. It's like right between Lansing and Grand Rapids. It's a smaller town. And so this school they have two different programs. I alluded to it earlier. The first one would be the maintenance technology program, and that's where I would learn how to fix, maintain airplanes. And then the second program is the flight training program, where you learn how to fly, get your license, get all the training. I think there's specialty stuff for like bush, airstrips that are off the beaten path, some special training for that, I believe. Each program will be 1 year, so I plan to be in school for 2 years. The first year will be the maintenance program, and the second year will be the flight program. I believe the classes, I know they're Monday through Friday. I think they're like 7 to 3:30, so roughly like a typical, you know, work week. At this point, we have found a house, got that lined up. It's a pretty large farmhouse. They're a local farmer from the community there is gracious enough to rent that out to us. Plenty of room for visitors if you want to come see us. And the nice part is it's like 5-minute drive from school, so that's nice. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a brother at church here, and he suggested that I be very open and transparent with the financial need. And I'm a little hesitant just because it just feels bad putting it out there, but I guess I need to learn to be more open for support. And so anyhow, I'm responsible for all the tuition plus the living expenses. And so roughly the tuition for both years is about $100,000. The maintenance program would be the first year, so that's about $29,000. And the flight program would be like $67,000. And there's also some additional expenses like equipment. I think have to pay for some like exams by the FAA and stuff, and you know all that miscellaneous stuff would be like another $4,000. So for the schooling itself, it'd be about $100,000, and then the living expenses. So and then just for what it's worth, that's kind of like the tuition is like due quarterly. So like for the first year, that's like $7,250 due at the beginning of each quarter of the school, and then $16,750 for the flight program the next year. So hope I'm making sense with how I'm explaining all this. So like I said, I hesitate to share that just because it's quite a big number. And I've told different people whether the church decides to support us, nothing, some, all, I'm confident that the Lord will come through, and we feel very confident and have a peace that he has called us to this. So then what's next after school? I'll try to wrap up here soon. Honestly, we don't know exactly after school what it's going to look like. We kind of, after the 2 years of school, we would need to find an organization that has like a sending aspect to it. Like the school is the SMAT, that is just the schooling. They have they have organizations that have pilots out in the field and mechanics out in the field to as mission work. So they have connections and they'll come in and stuff, but the school itself doesn't do any sending. It's just a school. So after school, we'll need to find a place that kind of fits. Each place sounds like has different focuses. Some of them have focus on church planting. Some sending organizations focus on translating the Bible. Others get involved with like medical assistance, like you know, taking people from the bush to and from to get medical treatment and stuff. And some organizations require you to have a certain amount of flight hours of experience before they allow you to serve with them. And for example, like the schooling itself, I think you get around like 260 hours. And I believe I heard that one sending organization requires you to have 500. So I'm honestly not sure exactly how you make that up before you can serve with them. But it's probably a no-brainer. But that after school, that is the goal, to use the pilot's license that Lord willing I'll receive to fly on the mission field. And like I said, we don't know where, what organization, what country, what people group, we don't know. We feel like the Lord has led us to this place of we're supposed to go to Michigan, get the training, and after that we fully expect that Lord will open the doors and show us when the time is right. Roughly a little bit about what it might look like. Life as a missionary pilot. Could be like supporting missionaries who are living in remote areas, like people who have dedicated their life to a certain remote tribe and are way back in, getting them to and from, bringing supplies. I'm reading a book that Christina gave me about It's written by a pilot who served many years, and he has all kinds of different stories, and he tells stories of, like, delivering Bibles that were printed, translations of the Bible back to the remote tribes and stuff. Like I alluded to a little bit ago, other things could be medical care, serving in that capacity where, like, you may take some help load up and take medical personnel, doctors and nurses out into the bush of Africa to set up clinics and go to another village and serve in that way, minister in that way. And also it sounds like if I wanted to, depending on the organization, I could be flying full time, or there could be situations where I fly part time and the other half of my day is involved with other ministry and stuff. So all that to say, we aren't sure yet, and we're okay with that. We trust that God will, one step at a time, and show us when the time is right. So in closing, I have three different prayer requests that you could remember us in. It's kind of a no-brainer, but we ask for prayer as we prepare to leave. It'll be a busy summer. We got a little one on the way, and that's the little one will be, I don't know, roughly a month old when we leave. So packing, all that. We're not exactly sure how it's going to work, but we know it will work out one way or the other. The second one, pray that Miriam and I would be able to be unified and be able to support one another in this change as we look to this move and starting this. It's our desire that we are one and able to support one another. And then thirdly, once again, it's probably kind of a no-brainer, but as we adjust to our new life, because we're moving, I guess I didn't say that. August 23rd is the first day of class. So probably the week prior, that's a Friday. So that sometime that week we'll be planning on moving out. So mid-August. So pray that as we move out in August, we can adjust to a new life. Well, we're not sure all the details. One thing that I'm a little concerned about is how I balance focusing on school, doing a good job with that, not neglecting family, and also if I try to work part-time. Any questions and anything that I did not make clear that I need to address, you can always talk to me afterwards too, but... All right, well, if not, I think that is all I have. I thank you for coming out and listening, your time and attention. And, yeah, Lord bless you for coming and being here.
I want to thank Micah for sharing, being open and upfront with us. I was thinking, we all have a calling, whether it's here, as a father, mother, in the church, or on the mission field. And it's our responsibility to answer that call of God. And as brothers and sisters, it's our responsibility to lift each other up in each other's calling. So it's our responsibility as a congregation to lift Micah and Miriam and their family up. So let's stand for prayer and